Welcome to the Sound Healing Radio Show. My name's David Gibson, and we're here with Jan Sircone. Say hi.
Hi, David.
Hi there.
Hi.
You know, what I wanted to do first is I wanted to make an intention for this radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, what we normally do is we start off just talking about various information and then tend to do more experiential stuff at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But throughout, I was thinking that what might be a nice intention for the show is to set it for bringing in the love or the Christ energy from above.
Mm. That's perfect.
That's what the show is about today.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And so what we'll do is we'll keep checking in with that intention as we go through the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
It's working already for me.
Yeah, me too. Well, I was waiting. I did a little toning to get warmed up.
Oh, cool.
But you and I are toning partners, so.
Yeah, we'll have to get going. You know, I was just at the New Living Expo. And at the New Living, I went on this machine that you stand on, and it vibrates you intensely.
Oh, right, the turbo?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
You know, I think that's like the ancient Egyptian used to ride on that, and that's how they got their workout. That's how they got their exercise. I read that. Similar, when they were on their chariots.
It made me a little dizzy and a little ungrounded.
Yeah.
Although when I got to 40 hertz, which I believe is my frequency, it felt great.
I think you have to really watch that because our energy fields are very delicate. So, before we jump on things like that, we really have to use discernment.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think the most interesting thing about, sound and music is I think when you can bring in spirit into the sound and the music. And, you know, it's like what we do here at the school, you know, we've got, I'll kind of be interjecting some of the things we're doing. We've got a college of sound healing with a certificate program and associate degree. We'll probably talk a little bit more about it later. But we use sound tables here with music. And one of my favorites is the Pachelbel Canon that we have at half speed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I swear, more people, when they get on that table and listen to that cry than anything, any other song. That song is probably the number one award winner for crying.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is what we're trying to study. And the deal is, you know, somehow, I know what makes me cry, and I think what makes most people cry, is there's something in that song that makes you feel love.
Mm-hmm.
And when you feel love, you cry because of how little love you have going on all the time.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also the steady beat of it. It's to the heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of holds people in a way that in this world we don't get held very much.
Uh-huh.
And the chord progression, too, I think there's something magical about that.
Well, you know, it's the most harmonic chord progression. It's all based on musical fifths.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is uplifting and healing.
Yeah. Also, you know, they say that, it's in the key of D, and they say that in Tibet, the root chakra is actually A, not C, which makes it the heart be D.
There you go. Yeah.
And also, in China, the root chakra is F, but in China, they actually go up musical fifths. So it actually ends up that the heart is D also.
Mm-hmm. That's why their pentatonic scale is so pleasing and inclusive, because it allows everybody to sing with it. Never sing a wrong note.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's very beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Are we going to get to listen to it now?
I don't know.
I can
check and see if... We're having a little trouble, but let's see if we've got that queued up. You wanna? If so, go ahead and play it, guys.
You know, that's the most popular song played at weddings. My wedding as well.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I've had people come up. We've got the sound tables at the New Living Expo. If you're in San Francisco, you should come down this weekend.
Great.
And I had one woman. She got off and she said, you know, I really loved it, but that was the song at my wedding, and I really don't like my ex anymore.
Well, I'm not going there. It's a beautiful song. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people have
that. They should play the births, actually, I think. You know, when babies come into the world, it would be perfect to have that lullaby.
You know, we're doing a World Sound Healing Conference in May 11th through the 14th, and the first night we're doing the concerts with Mickey Hart and Stanley Jordan, and we're going to have 40 kids and taiko drummer, Japanese taiko drummers, and a 20-piece choir, and our grand finale is going to be Pachelbel Canon.
Oh, wonderful.
And it's going to be, you know, we'll start off really slow, and then it will go. Mm-hmm. It will become very intense and very powerful, and then break back down, and we'll have a 3-piece violin section. So it's really, really sweet. You know
That would be amazing.
You know what I thought we might do is do like a little bit of toning, because it's my our favorite thing to do with you.
Mm-hmm. And so do you have a bowl there? I have a new C sharp bowl here. Well, how would you like to do it?
Oh, no, I don't. Yeah, that would be fine.
Okay.
That would be good. Okay. And then maybe not too long, but I'm thinking what we can do is use our intention on this.
Mm-hmm.
And
right. What I would like to bring in is that the frequencies that David and I sing can radiate out and go into the listeners' hearts and begin to unfold and open with more love.
I have to mention also, it was a little over a year ago that
I hate to break in.
We took like 20 people to Egypt, and Jan and I had just
David?
An amazing experience in a couple of the temples there.
David, do you all hear me? Is everyone hearing me okay?
Yeah.
You got
the music happening?
No, they're in M4U.
Uh-huh.
And M4U is the new type of MP3.
Uh-huh.
And I do not have anything that will code it that fast. I would have to look through all my programs to find out, because I literally have to downgrade it, because M4U is the newest format available.
Okay, yeah.
It's actually the best. And SAM4 doesn't broadcast in M4U yet, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay, thanks. We'll make our own music.
Yeah, or you can always, if you can convert them down and re-upload them or re-email them, bang.
Yeah, it's just basic iTunes format. I didn't know that it would be a different format. Okay.
Yeah, cool. It is. It actually is in M4U. It's not really M3U, and I can read every single format except for M4.
Okay, cool. Okay.
It means you just got great music. Unfortunately, it's too good for me to play.
You know, this is perfect, because one of the things I tell the students, I actually teach voice from a psychoacoustic perspective, and David is my boss there. Thank you, David. And I teach the students not to rely on electronics, but that the music and the frequencies are within them at any time. And the acoustical is the most healing, because it's live frequencies.
I also say, though, it's all good.
There's a place. There is a place. But being a singing teacher, you know, that's my thing. The natural sounds and bringing through the cosmos and through our body and letting it vibrate.
Yeah, I think I mentioned last week, and when we weren't on the air actually, that you know, there's a hierarchy have that of the best quality sound, and I think the number one best quality sound is your voice naturally inside your own body.
It's the most healing, right?
Yeah, there's nothing else. I think in my book, the violin, and this becomes preference for different people, violin would be next. And then after you get into natural sound, then there's recorded sound. And, of course, you know, at the Institute here, having so many different instructors, we've got such an array of people that have some very strong feelings about it. You know, because even Stephen Halpern, you know, he uses a lot of electric instruments. And he says, well, you know, he's done a lot of studies and shown that his music is extremely powerful and healing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and that's one thing that really we can bring in here, and that is, you know, the truth is, the much more than the sound and the music, the intention is really what really makes the big difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as Jonathan Goldman says, you know, sound and intention equals sound healing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting because I was just thinking about it, you'll find this funny. I was thinking, you know, with Dr. Emoto, and there's a lot of other studies that have proven that intention works.
Right.
And, by the way, we just booked this guy at the conference who his whole thing is quantum physics, and he's figured out from a biophysical perspective, he's found spirit and consciousness.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Wow.
And this is what everybody's been talking about, is that there's going to be a point when we can prove that spirit is real. And
so
this is what he's
found
done.
The frequencies or the energetic component, like Jeffrey Thompson came up with his special CDs that could put the person's brain waves into that of a guru or a spiritually awakened person.
Right,
but
right.
Did he find an entity or what?
No, it's a whole... It's a whole system, biophysical model is what he calls it, that shows how everything in your whole psyche and physical body aligns to create consciousness and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Stuart Grace, and I'm really looking forward to that. He's probably going to be doing some classes here at the Institute as well.
So it's probably looking at like a hierarchy, like the higher vibrations that you put into your body. Then
I'm sorry?
It would it be like a hierarchy of vibrational frequency in the body? And the higher you get, the more towards spirit?
I don't know. He didn't tell me.
Oh, we'll find out at the convention, right?
He didn't tell me what it is. He just said that he's done it.
I think that, again, being the singing teacher, we have all that magic in our body, and we have the intuition of how to access it.
Uh-huh.
And that's what you and I did in those Egyptian temples in Egypt.
Yeah.
We had a few tools, a couple of tuning forks, C-sharp, to ground ourselves.
Yeah.
I had some vocal exercises, and mainly, you and I weren't leaving that temple until we had an experience. Remember?
Uh-huh.
We worked and worked and worked, and there's a certain point where the frequencies radiating out through our bodies, and I also think, I just put this together, it's the fact that you are masculine and I am feminine.
Uh-huh.
And together, those two fields, is, remember one night we were talking about the phase shift, the part in between? I think we shook something open that was beyond us, and our hearts just flew open.
Yeah.
Remember that 5 hours of pure bliss?
God. It was like for 2 days, and then it happened again at the Hathor temple.
Yep, in the little Isis temple behind the Hathor temple. But we learned our lesson after the first time. We learned, how the light would dissipate is we would have any negative thought or judgment about any other person, and the light would start to dissipate. So after the first time, we learned that. And I would teasingly, I would say to you, David, I'd say, well, was that worth losing the light? Every little,
Oh, my God, it's such a little school of learning when you get into that state. Because, you know, when the light goes away, it's like,
And it was the thoughts, the negative thoughts. I believe that the fullness of that love and that bliss that we had was so pure. Any negative thought that came in, it was like it just sucked it away. It was just really amazing. And that's where I love to tell people about that experience.
You know, one thing that's really helpful, I think that's important, you know, one thing we did, I mean, I think from what I see is a few things came together. First of all, we were playing with the resonant frequencies of the room. So we were matching them a lot and activating
the
activating the room. There's another thing that happens also is since there are inscriptions on the walls that are come out of the walls, those inscriptions actually interrupt the waveform, and that actually goes right into your cells, right? And then, but the other part is, you know, our intention was basically, I know both of our intentions was to bring the Christ spirit love in.
We knew that before we left on the trip.
Yeah.
That was our plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then
everything converged, I think, and it did make holographic, like resonant shapes in the room with our voices bouncing off. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Almost to the point where the room moves,
uh-huh.
and the light changed, I mean, to say nothing of our bodies. It's like
it's amazing what it's almost like kick-starting something. You know, that's what I was going to say. The other part that we did that I think was important is it doesn't just happen in 5 minutes. I mean, it took us 45 minutes before or to an hour before it actually started.
Right. People would come and go, and I think you and I were really on a mission. And so when I do toning with people, I say, keep toning.
Yeah.
Change instruments, keep toning. Because your brain waves and your breathing, and actually that's when the endocrine system and the pineal gland gets the light.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's what happened to us. So this last year, David and I, we check in often just to see what experiences we're having. And for myself, I'm much more sensitive to frequencies, and my hands have this vibration that is just amazing. If there's sound in the room, I hold something and it actually moves with the vibration of my hand. So I feel that some sort of transmission. And the second time it happened to David and I, of course, you being the head of the Psychoacoustics Institute, I was given a message by Spirit. And remember what it was, David?
What? When?
Spirit said the second time after our second enlightening experience, they said, tell David to build it.
Oh,
so other people can come and have these atoning experiences, and they don't have to go to Egypt.
Oh, I gotta tell you, I talked to Fred Bell, who's going to be at the conference today.
Uh-huh.
And you know, if you guys on the air here don't know who Fred Bell is, Fred's an interesting character in that he used to work for the government, and he was reverse engineering the actual rockets from the alien ships.
Uh-huh.
And the Palladians contacted them and took them up on ships, and then he got taught by them for the last 12 years or so. And so he's been working with them, and he's got some music that he plays that activates them. And he said, this is really funny, he said that just about every time he plays, the Palladians will show up. And he was saying, this is, and for those of you that are listening that don't believe in aliens, you can just enjoy this. You know? And he said that they were in Switzerland, and two spaceships showed up outside of the concert hall, and then the military came and started trying to chase them with the jets, and it got so noisy. They had
keep
to,
it under wraps.
And then the police came and surrounded the room.
Wow.
And I told him that I'm meant to build this room.
You are, David. Yeah.
And that will resonate, and so we don't have to go to Egypt. It's too far.
Right.
It's too far.
It's a transmission that, because our bodies are different channels of frequencies bringing through these sounds, which I hope we get a chance to talk about the voice bio later. That's the tool that I use. But bringing through, we're opening these channels, which the end result is, I believe, for all of us to become Christed beings, Christ consciousness.
Yeah.
Jesus said, this too you can do. And I think we now have the available consciousness and tools and light workers to lead us there.
You know, it's so funny. A couple of weeks ago, somebody called me up and they said, Dave, what is the frequency of love?
Oh.
And I said there is no frequency specifically of love.
Yeah.
I mean, Masters.
He has tuning forks to all the emotions.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's, you know, it's like you can imbue love into any frequency. I tend to not think of it as being like or even it's more.
Well, it's the highest possible human frequency. Beyond the orgasm, I have to say.
Yeah. So but before we do our little meditation, let's tone the frequency of love. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Just briefly here.
Okay. I'm wondering, I have this little headset here. I have a pretty big tone thing going. Okay. So we're just going to do this.
You want to just do it without the bowl?
Yeah.
First?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me start, and then you take over.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
about 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I had an anxiety attack when I was in Seattle in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out of my body and went into
they're painful.
Pure love.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so amazing because I looked,
wow.
I could see, I started scanning the world for love, and first all my friends and all the people I knew.
Mm.
And it was really interesting because I looked at each person I knew and immediately went to the main people. There's like mm-hmm. two or three people that were totally loving beings.
Mm-hmm.
And but then I looked at the rest of the world and I realized, oh my God,
not quite
there's
yet.
An epidemic here of people not loving.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You can feel it. The resonant field, it's almost as if you can feel their ouchiness, their woundedness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's what we do with the psychoacoustics. We help them mm-hmm. move and heal those.
It's so funny. I think one thing I was just thinking today, that mm-hmm. one of the big things that stops people is often when somebody is, especially in a city, going around, or like us when we went to Egypt, going
mm-hmm.
around spreading love,
mm-hmm.
people are just dying for, people are dying for that frequency, so then they want to, they start almost accosting you.
Well, it's the life force energy, and it's so big, and it goes through our central channel, that it, some people say, that life force energy, it's misconstrued as somewhat of an amorous sexual sort of energy.
Right. That's
and
the big
so
problem.
People are not used to being their soul loved unconditionally, so maybe even not by their mother. So, it does sometimes have to be veiled somewhat just for everybody's comfort. I know exactly what you're talking about. I would just...
It's funny. I know quite a few people are just so loving, and
mm-hmm.
It's like I remember this one person I know, and she was when she was here doing a class. She said she got accosted by like a homeless guy on the street,
and
she just loved him anyway, and he like totally disarmed him.
Absolutely, isn't that great?
Yeah.
Well, what I found this last year has been so profound experience is that. And this may sound funny, but sometimes even the most horrendous activities, behaviors, all are leading towards the unfolding towards love. We're all headed there because that is our divine right and blueprint as humans. And I think sound is a no-brainer. Music, people love music, and we're moving them more towards using it not passively but actively, again, singing. And using toning, moving sound through them. And that, I think, is going to be the unbinding of the corset where people can experience, feel safe enough to love, and hopefully it'll bleed out into our political, corporate infrastructure of our society.
Uh-huh.
But it has to be an individual waking up within themselves first, one person at a time.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's in sound healing, I always think of it as two different aspects. One is healing, where you identify something that's an issue,
mm-hmm.
and you try and then you mm-hmm. use the sound on that specific issue.
Yes, healing and releasing.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And then there's the other part, which is just connecting to spirit and bringing
mm-hmm.
in that higher love.
Yeah.
And then, because if you can do that, then the issues, like, they go away on their own.
I what I found is that it is a path, and that as you're going through, you get to a certain point and you feel great and blissful, and then the next unresolved emotional thing.
Although,
and,
you know what?
Yeah.
I really believe with the acceleration of our raising of our consciousness on this planet,
mm-hmm.
that path is becoming much,
more accessible,
much faster.
More
yeah.
accelerated.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely, and more people to help us through. But I still think that we cannot progress to a certain level, for instance, to be able to manifest,
mm-hmm.
unless we have a clear field. If you still have any sort of an ouchy or button there, that could come back later and create something
yeah, of
that's
course,
not love.
But what I believe is instead of like going through therapy to clear the field or focusing on that thing that
yeah.
I mean if you just spend all your time in love
mm-hmm.
and light, that
mm-hmm.
issue is going to go away.
Absolutely. It will move and dissolve.
I got even more detail on
that.
I believe, you know, and I base this on my studies from Alice Bailey, and it's about raising consciousness. It's really the whole thing that Alice Bailey is in. And, you know, this ties into the whole sound thing. You know, the first step, the first initiation is to get the emotional body in check.
Right.
To not be in, have it being
controlled.
Yeah. And that's one thing that's great about sound is being able to use sound to release stuck emotions because, you know, people say that 50% of disease are stuck emotions. And you can simply, this is probably one of the most powerful techniques that I can share for people to use, because you can especially do it in the car, is find where you think that stuck emotion, whether it's anger or frustration or whatever it is, where find out where when you think it is in the body, and you don't have to be precise, and then just start trying to make that sound. Just play with it. You can't. There's no right or wrong. And then once you make that sound enough, harmonize it into a sweet sound.
That's shifting.
And then that releases, and that's like the first step of raising consciousness. The second is getting your emotion, mental body. In order, so that your thoughts are clear and step by step, because that's what this is what it reminded me of when you were just speaking. Because I think one of the biggest traps that people get into is wrong thought. You know, they fall into thought traps, which then create emotional
judgment, lose life.
Yeah. And then so when you get those, there's two parts to it. There's like, you know, no judgment, but also very clear step by step. You know, logic, because they say that, you know, the once you move in, you actually, as you raise your consciousness, which is, this is somewhat counterintuitive, is that you actually move into your mental body, but the mental body is connected to spirit, okay? So it's not like you're just becoming mental, right?
Then
the third, go ahead.
The mind just assists us.
Right.
It has to happen in the heart.
And then the third initiation is going into spirit, leaving you know, the world behind, the worldly stuff behind, and going into spirit, and which is really very scary because for a lot of people, because you're
surrender.
You're kind of leaving family and everything. But what's so interesting is you're like going into a place where you're perfectly connected. And, you know, that's what I've realized is the ultimate goal of raising consciousness is to get to a place where you not just know, but you are one with everyone else. And that's an interesting thing because there's very few techniques. And the closest one that I found is when you get a room full of people and they all tone together, when that when it ends and it's perfectly there's that perfect silence, that is the closest you can ever that I've ever had been able to do over and over, I should say, where I feel connected to everybody in a room.
That's so true. I do a little exercise in class where I have the students tone by themselves walking around and then tone next to a person, and then walk around quietly, and they say it profoundly changes their sense of themselves and the other beings in the room by connecting by sound, that they broke that isolation. Do you know, as you're describing the healing process, I want to share something that Claire Hartsong wrote in her book, Anna, Grandmother of Jesus, that she said that Jesus used sound. First, he looked at the person's metaphysical condition, the soul level, to determine whether a healing was the highest empowerment. He empathically attuned into their heart to discover whether they were willing to lay aside the heavy stone of grievance that created the disease. Then he began holding each person in an outpictured soul in their perfected wholeness, no matter how deformed or diseased the body. So this is what I'm thinking he's talking about, instant shifting, instantaneous healing, which I believe in as well. Then he gradually lifted those discordant and incoherent frequencies in that person's body into love's coherent expression. He would project light, sound, and color, and they said that he would actually even sound. He would tone a little bit. This makes me happy. It is channeled information, but it's certainly in alignment with the work that I've been doing with the voice bio that shows we all are frequencies which are graphable into all our different organs, and you can see the different disease patterns jump out just like on a piano scale, and you can tone to rebalance yourself. And I'm saying this has been going on for a long, 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 long time. We're in good company with this sort of thinking.
That's great. You know, the of course, you do a lot of work with the voice bio system. It's a system by Kay Lu. Who's going to be at our conference. And there's about seven systems out there, and it's one of the ones that she basically did hospital surveys with different people, did voice bios on people that had specific diseases over quite a few years, and got different imprints and and found, you know, relationship to different organs as well. And
There's definitely patterns there, and to the point that, say, I have one resonant frequency field and it makes a wave, the partner that I choose will have the opposite wave. Now, think of the ramifications for dating services for this. That's
well,
great.
You know, we're planning at the conference to actually do, we could do both, actually it would be two voice biosystems.
I'll
we're
be running
do,
MK, you'll be running Minibooth.
And then we've also, we were going to do muscle testing at our booth, so we can, I was thinking to put little stickers on people's badges, so everybody, when they go up, they go, oh, you're an A-flat. You know, so it's probably a dating service.
I love that. They can see if they resonate. If, are you my tritone?
Yeah.
Are you the one that is going to bring down my high F sharp, which is my nerve?
Oh, my. It's incredible. Because it's just amazing when you find that person that resonates. And it's
I've always,
it's interesting. I've always felt that, you know, it's like when you find somebody that's the same frequency or that is actually a musical fifth, because my girlfriend's like a musical fifth above me. It actually resonates, but you know, it's so perfect when that person is what you need and
they're filling a frequency that you're short in. They say little couples that live together forever, and then one dies. Well, the other one dies shortly thereafter because the other one was holding the note for the system that was weak in disease in the other.
I've got to mention this thing that one of our instructors that has done the sound in nature class. She said that she actually brought in a frequency readout of all of the animals in a jungle, and every single animal was holding or making a sound at a different frequency. No two animals would be at the same frequency. And when one of the animals died out, another of the animals would move their frequency down to take over that frequency range.
That's exactly how it works.
Yeah.
That's another example of how we are just part of this beautiful electromagnetic grid of frequencies. And I wanted to tell people, it's funny you said about Fred Bell and the ETs when he did the sound. What I've noticed in my priestess friends here in Santa Rosa, Jalen has a beautiful priestess program, is that we watch and our nature animal friends come. I was doing a reading on a woman 2 days ago telling her that, you know, perhaps bean counting and want to make the big money, her work is spiritual. She should look more at that. And a big turkey waddled right up to our window, which is a giveaway. The other day, we're walking on the beach in Aptos, and a friend had just come back from Hawaii, and I said, would you like to call in dolphins or a whale today? No, whales never come in that little sea cliff beach. And by the end, we said, there he is. So nature conspires to confirm what we intuitively feel. I mean, just think about it. We all had visions. We all had ETs. It could be a shock to our third dimensional perception. So nature conspires. The hawk circling.
It seems that also everywhere, just about every aspect of sound, I'm finding that the answer is not one frequency. In fact, I just had a discussion with Jonathan Goldman because I really believe everybody has their own root frequency. And he sent me a quote from Hazrat Inya Khan. uh-huh. and saying that you should not focus on one frequency, you get stuck there. Because, and I think, and it's kind of from what we're talking about, is I think the ultimate goal is the full range of frequencies.
And the balance. Mm-hmm. The balance for my body.
Mm-hmm. I've really come to believe that from the work of Tomatis and the listening program and all the work they do with kids that have autism and learning disabilities, you know, basically what they do is they take classical music and they roll off all of the low frequencies slowly until it's just the highs, and then they slowly bring them all back in. And I've really come to believe that most learning disabilities are just based on someone being stuck in one frequency. And I believe that autism is the same as well.
The auditory loop is disturbed for some reason. My daughter's case was metabolic. They thought she had autism, when it turned out the way her food was processing, her body was very unbalanced frequency-wise. So it's fascinating. But we did go through the Tomatis method, and that's an excellent, excellent
There's also another system that my girlfriend had that called the Roshi system that uses lights. And basically they said that when you have a trauma, you can actually on an EEG see a theta loop. It's like that trauma is looping over and over. It's like it's stuck. And this system would go through using a Fibonacci series. It would speed up the lights faster and faster and slower and slower, and it would break up that loop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so again, it's like doing something to like break up or expand the full range of frequencies.
Oh my, and yeah, because that's what we are, as full harmonic beings. You know, I'm looking here at the calendar of events for the Sound Healing Conference, and there's going to be a wonderful voice analysis workshop. I'll be moderating it. Kay Twanson, Louis, Jean Nelson, and Don Estes. I mean, I'm just looking at this lineup, and just the things that we're touching upon today, there will be an expert, I mean the leading international expert in each one of these fields, and coming to this conference is going to be so rich. Just being there within the midst of these people.
You know, what we basically have is we tried to, I mean, it's so tricky to design a conference for everybody because it's become such a huge field. So basically what we ended up with was three different tracks, and you can go back and forth, but one's like natural sound and toning, and that could be, you know, tuning forks, crystal bowls. We have about three workshops now of people that are just using voice, including Chloe Goodchild now. And and then the second one is sound and technology, and there's some really unique technology out there. I was just talking with the partner of Stuart Grace, Michael Kessler. I went over to his place, and he has all these technology that are using frequencies that doctors are using all the time now. It's really, you know, it's where they find the frequency based on your metabolism of your own system, and they put frequency through you and show you exactly what's going on with every single organ, with every single meridian, with every bacteria, the full range. So the technologies are just getting so incredible.
The information's there, but what I find is each researcher, clinician seems to have their own island. So the breadth of this conference, and it's bringing us together through sound, is what's exciting. I'm on as a music practitioner. I'm on staff at a traditional hospital, a little integrated healthcare team, and I really need to bring this sort of information in. You know, when I'm writing my policies and procedures and getting sound and music healing in through the door. So the more I think that we network, comprehend what each other are doing, and share it, then we can work more with the traditional healthcare system.
You know, that's as part of the school. That's one of our main goals and main intentions, is really to bring sound into the mainstream. And the main idea of that is, you know, really just to get enough general acceptance in the public that because I believe that's what's going to drive sound into the medical field. I mean, you know, even if we do research and we come up and we say, this is the most bizarre thing, I realize that if we found, and I think there are a few people in this field that are on the brink of it, that if we found how to cure cancer with sound,
There you go.
It wouldn't even go into hospitals.
Well, do you know the voice bio can actually predict a predisposition to cancer? Low B, high E note.
So that's what I realized. The path is you've got to really get it into the mainstream. I saw a documentary about a year ago. It said that the reason that alternative health medicine hasn't been regulated, which we have to watch out for,
those of you who know, check it out.
There's going to be a big vote just coming up in a week here. So if anybody knows, send a letter to your Congress. They could actually outlaw alternative medicine. In a way, in just 1 week here. Natural Health
Solutions, isn't that the group that's helping spearhead the writings and the comments? So April 30th, we can have public comments on the new FDA proposal, which will recategorize many things. So
yeah, I think it's really important. I tend to believe that, I mean, from this documentary, they said the reason alternative health hadn't been regulated was 85% of the people in Congress using it.
Right. And that's it. That's the groundswell. Just the same way that our politics changed. People are tasting it and they're using it. Okay, perfect example. This last week I said, I am so tired of hot flashes. My friend and I are designing tuning forks built to women's hormones. Now, after extensive testing, I have women lined up already just hearing the idea of doing this. Give them to me.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So I think people are wanting, we know what they're wanting, and they're asking for it, and more sound. My friends and I, the Sound Collective, we're doing a gong bath, our third one. Very popular. People want to come and pay $35 to lie down and have us play the big gongs because they know when they leave, some of their inner ouchies are going to be removed through those vibrations. I mean, that's the medicine of the future.
Yeah.
Bathe me with the gong, girl.
You know, I really believe, I mean, even within 5 years, I bet you there's going to start being a major change in the health field. I mean, at the Sound Healing Conference in Santa Fe last year, I saw John Reed, and he has found that cymatics, which is the way the sound vibrates sand or powder on a metal plate, creates these unbelievable mandala patterns. And there's really cool videos that are out there.
And that's ancient. He did the Egyptian work, right? That's ancient. Sound is what is old is new. My grandmother always said, it's going to come around again, the pendulum is swinging.
Well, John actually found that these cymatic patterns are in the cell, and that he's now developed a system where you can do a biopsy on a cancer cell or any other type of bad cell, find that cymatic pattern, and then make a sound that resonates that cymatic pattern. And if you just turn it on, the sound on, it feeds energy into that cell. If it's a nice cell, you could do that. But if it's a bad cell or a misguided cell, I should say, if we don't want to give cells a bad name, if you then turn up the volume on that resonant frequency, it explodes the cell. So there's no side effects. There's no invasive procedure, and it's like unbelievably inexpensive.
Oh my!
And this has been shown by Fabian Mamon's work as well in his books, that he's got pictures of cancer cells being exploded, and it's just we're so close. That's why this conference is so incredible. There's so many people, and everybody in this field sees it too. Everybody in the field knows that there's something major. I mean, everybody knows how powerful sound is, and they know that there's going to be a major change here really soon.
Well, I certainly feel it coming, and I know that the exciting part is that it puts people's health back into their own hands through something natural, and that's my whole thing, voice. I've been studying a special type of healing singing, uncovering the voice from anthroposophical origins, and then now I'm in the therapeutic singing part. And when I work with patients, I know when they sing the vowels, they're bringing in the planetary forces. And when they're singing the consonants, the zodiac forces, and then we have them moving and breathing. And it's like a whole you don't need medicine anymore, really.
Uh-huh.
We have it all within us, our voice, our body, our breathing. We can just unhinge all those ouchy things.
It's so
very, very
perfect,
exciting.
Too, because I think the baby boomer thing, with they're becoming so many people,
mm-hmm.
you know, getting older now, that's going to propel mm-hmm. us into it, because our system's just not going to be able to handle it. So it's going to propel us into this natural, personal healing.
New ways are being called for, and they're asking for it. And I think it's really exciting that, you know, they're doing the research. They have the valid data, and it's all there at the Psychoacoustics Institute, right?
Yeah.
We have a wonderful team, and I want to mention my dear sweetheart, Randy Masters, another teacher, great inspirational speaker, is going to be with Fred Bell tomorrow evening on this show for two hours.
Oh,
from
cool.
6:30 to 8:30.
Oh, that's going to be an interesting show.
Oh, very interesting with those two, the neurological correlations to everything in the universe, and then
oh my God,
Fred speaking. Yeah,
you know, it took me about a year before I could explain what Randy does, and
mm-hmm.
finally I think I got it. You know, the basic thing that he does is he's basically studied all the different fields and found not only the mathematical relationships but the energetic relationship between, you know, chemistry, sound, color, light, sacred
mm-hmm.
geometry,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the full range of everything out there in the world. And
mm-hmm.
basically, by being in his class, what happens is you start to feel connected to everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
When I took the class, the psychoacoustics, it threw open the doors and my remembrance kicked in. And I said, wait a minute, I'm on the wrong track. And that's what I find. People come in, they take Randy's class, and he speaks, and he's got a whole mystery school in his head.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's just phenomenal. It's like a one-person effect, a world effect, and of course I think the world of him. But,
I remember after taking his class, I went camping. And I looked up at the stars, and, you know, normally you look up at the stars and go, what a cacophony, you know. There doesn't seem to be any pattern up there when you just look at the sky. And then something shifted in me, and I went, oh, my God, there is more pattern and more structure, and that structure
order.
Up there is exactly what's going on inside of me. And all of a sudden, I felt completely connected to the entire universe.
You know, in one of my meditations recently, that's just how I felt, that the whole universe is inside of every cell. And you get that from his class, and it's all frequencies.
Yeah.
It's all interrelated, and that's why we have to live in such a way that every living being, I've seen Randy get a glass in the middle of the night with a piece of paper and rescue a spider that wasn't in a spot that would support his lifestyle. I mean, that's really sweet.
Well,
anyway, he'll be speaking in the conference
class.
Too. Excuse me?
Tell us about your class.
I teach?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'd love to. Okay. All right, now, let's see, where's my paper? Mainly I teach about bringing through pure tones through your body so that you can not just sing beautiful, but really, really express and clear yourself. Work with your chakras. Oh, come on, I've got this little thing written here. Bouncing your chakras. I do sacred seed syllables. But the main thing that all the years of singing that I've done that I've totally learned is that singing is like the way home. Randy and I were laughing. Sound is the wave home, but singing is the ensouling process. And the scientific spiritual method of singing that I've studied is through Rudolf Steiner, and the woman that designed it was Valborg Rerbeck Schwarzstrom. And Rudolf said that this time in history, that the mechanized left brain technical society would really need help. The only way to open people's hearts would be through the art and through the ethers, the air. And so music and singing was one of the initiatives. So she designed a singing method that the sounds come through you and you actually transform the sounds And it transforms you. It's an ensouling process. It's hard to describe in a few words, but our voices are like little altars. Therese Schroeder Schrecker said this. They're an alchemical seat where we meet the tones and we surrender to them. And then our carbon dioxide, which is a waste product, becomes golden. And angels work on all of these realms to release these sounds. And as we release them, we're healed. And the sounds that you can make doing this voice method, I teach my students lots of little exercises, which seemingly are crazy, but they enable you to sublimate your voice up to the sound stream, the klang, so that you are with the cosmos with your body. You go past your ego musculature, use the consonants for launching, and you're working with the zodiac forces and the vowels. For instance, if I were to be singing ooh, I would be working with the Saturn energies and working with my spleen, the bones, my legs, and the vision, the rhythms, the color of blue. So it's a very, very, very rich, all-encompassing scientific spiritual method of singing. So that's the core of my class. Then we do lots of other fun things, toning. Cool. And anyway.
Well, you know, if anybody's interested in the school, you can give us a call at 415-777-2486. That's 415-777-2-HUM. H-U-M.
Great.
And we have a summer intensive that's just 5 weeks, so people from out of town can come in and do the full certificate program, which is 270 hours over just 5 weeks. You know, at first I thought we were going to kill people when we did this program because it's day and night, 6 days a week. But what happens is, you know, people get into the zone. And it's the most transformational class. We also have a 4-month version in September and January, and we have the full associate degree. And then May 11th through the 14th is the Sound Healing Conference. Both of these you can find at soundhealingcenter.com, www.soundhealingcenter.com. The conference is 60 presenters, 30 exhibitors. We have 4 concerts going on. It's a major event. You know, we just have a few minutes, one thing that I was just thinking about, because the intention of this program is about bringing love and the spirit into your heart. The Dalai Lama was here at the Civic Center today. It's so funny just having him in the city to just see him do something. Everybody says that, you know, the Dalai Lama is the epitome. He is living pure compassion.
Unconditional love.
And to just imagine that, just like imagining Christ a person or anybody actually living in pure love and light the whole time is such an amazing thought.
Well, that's our heritage and our potential, I believe. David, can I say my website?
Yeah.
Musicforjoyandhealing.com. Great. See you there.
Cool.
Well, I don't want to wake up tomorrow and say, what was I thinking? I could get people on my Sound Healing newsletter that lets them know about everything we're doing in this area. I'm actually in Santa Rosa, up here in Santa Rosa, California. So what would you like to do to close
well,
this session?
Well, I was thinking, you know, I've found that toning is kind of hard on the phone because it's hard to hear the other person. But I think we should do it anyway.
Okay.
And that is to tone the sound of compassion.
Okay. Are we okay on volume levels? Have you gotten any feedback or we're not being too?
I haven't heard. But go ahead.
All right.
So
I'm ready.
Let me give a little preface. I've been working on this play called Compassion for Las Vegas, and I found, you know, there's like different things that bring people into compassion. One is seeing what a person has done and seeing how they were brought to do that, which is basically often societal pressures or their things from their parents or such. You understand it. then there's also the aspect of just seeing the child in that person. And then there's also the aspect, which is hard for some, a lot of people to do, but it's the ultimate, where it, compassion just happens. Mm-hmm. And that's where you see the light in everybody else as being the exact same as yours.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm.
So let's tone compassion and love.
Would you like me to give the bowl a little hit? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Carry this energy into your evening and into the weekend and into the weeks and months and years. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you all for listening.
Mm-hmm. Blessings. Thanks.